This is Dylan Osick from Slingshot, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
This is Danielle from Offsides, and you're listening to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM in Vancouver, BC.
Sometimes I'd like to take a peppermint and a switchblade and a Cadillac and throw it all in a fire.
You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Radio for crazy people and the elderly. Oh yeah. Situation.
When the road looks rough ahead and you're miles and miles from your nice warm bed, you just remember what your old past said. Boy, you got a friend in me. Yeah, you got a friend in me. You got a friend in me.
And hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Community Living Show on the National Campus and Radio Association Networks, which is known as a short abbreviation called the NCRA Radio Networks. And of course, our half hour, or not our half hour, our full hour edition of of it here on our flagship station, CITR 101.9 FM. Yes, of course, I'm Kelly. Of course, I am also the half of it as DJ Ray. And we were supposed to have a guest on today.
Yeah, we were showed up late. Supposed to have a guest from Operation Smile. She is running a little bit late. So I could tell you a little bit about what they do.
Before we do that.
I know a lot of people have heard of cleft palate, where it's a birth defect where certain parts of the jaw just didn't come together, something like that. And she has way more information on this. So, but their mission statement is this: Operation Smile mobilizes a world of generous hearts to heal children's smiles and transform lives. We believe all children deserve to live with dignity. And for those suffering from cleft lip, cleft palate, or other facial deformities, dignity begins with a smile. Mm. So that's a bit about their mission statement. So I know they're on their way, so maybe we can go to something else that's a little more newsworthy that we might have.
Well, I've got some information on Bill 3 on the BC legislature.
And what's Bill 3 about?
Bill 3 is a bill act that I watched it yesterday or the day before. It was second reading on Bill 3, which is the People with Disabilities and Assistance Act 2016. Mm-hmm. Now, this bill would be involved with the Ministry of Income Assistance and, of course, the bus pass program situation, for that matter.
So it does involve the bus pass.
Yes, that's what it is.
What is going to actually happen with that bus pass?
So what's going to happen is, well, the second reading has passed in the legislature. Pretty soon they will be talking it about through it in a committee stage, which is what they have is a chairman. They go through section by section of the bill each section for that matter, whether if the opposition agrees or disagrees, mostly opposition will disagree on the situation on the bus pass and stuff that we've already done our rally and stuff. Of course, you've already heard my report on it through News 101 on last Friday. So,
yeah.
And so, yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see what's, if they'll accept it or not. Mm-hmm. It, you know, depends on what the government will want to do after committee stage, if they want to do it as a third reading or pass it as law. So, so we are going to take a musical break and we're going to come right back. I don't even know which one I'm going to play, but one of the songs. All right, so we'll be back. All right, so we're back again. Sorry about the interruption. Pardon the interruption, as they say. While we're at it, you've heard of TED Talks?
Yes.
So we're going to do a TED Talks here for a moment. And this one is called, this one's by Christer Paulo, who is a 15-year-old student at the International School of Hague. Having some diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome with a form of autism, he has been faced with stigma for his learning disability. And it's about close to about 8 minutes.
Okay.
You want to check it out? All right, we'll come right back and hopefully we'll have our guests, okay?
Hopefully.
And we'll be back.
Thank you.
Asperger's syndrome, a condition I have, by the way, let's get that off the board right now, is defined as a lifelong personality disorder evident from childhood and regarded as a mild form of autism. Persons with the syndrome are often mocked and ill-treated at school by their fellows because they appear unusual and often aloof. Many people with Asperger seem to take refuge in intense hobbies or interests, mostly mathematics. Right, I am failing mathematics, so somebody should probably fix this quickly. We want this to be correct. Frustration with the outside world, which is so hard to comprehend, may provoke aggressive outbursts when stressed. My name is Krister Palo, and I am here to tell you the stigmas associated with autism are wrong. So first of all, how did I get here? It started during a physical education lesson. Somebody was bothering me, and after I told them to stop, they continued bothering me. And so basically, I used the age-old formula of the first thing you see and where the sun don't shine. So it ended up being, if you don't stop bothering me, I'll shove a javelin where the sun don't shine. Now, of course, I and a couple of other people thought it was funny for about the first 20 minutes. And that's when everyone said that I was constantly threatening people with weapons, I was attacking students freely in the halls, and I was greatly encouraged to seek a diagnosis in order to continue getting assistance at this school, however you want to interpret that. And I was also told that that is it, I've ruined my life, and that is going on my permanent record, and I am finished. Funnily enough, this was possibly the second greatest thing that could have ever happened to me. Because I learned that, yes, well, there is something wrong with me, it isn't final. I learned how to deal with me. I learned how to help others deal with me. And others learned, generally, more or less, how to deal with me. So, quite simply put, I was diagnosed, and this meant that something changed almost instantly. You see, when we hear Asperger's, something changes. And one of the most common things I keep on hearing, and it goes over and over and over again, is that we are clever. Not all of us are. We're not the greatest people in the universe. But what is true is almost all of us have a single seed of genius, which if nurtured could lead to a tree of knowledge. However, we are so afraid of how this tree will grow that often what we do is you take the seed and you crush it. Destroy it so that it cannot grow. And what you have done is you have taken something that does not belong to you and you have left something behind in the person. Now, some people believe Albert Einstein did have a form of autism. Now, we, even today, we're still taking the fruits of his tree of knowledge. While not all of his ideas were the greatest, one of his most famous ideas, the splitting of the atom, while it did have its downside, the nuclear bombs and World War II, it had a massive upside, a clean, reliable, safe source of energy for generations to come. However, for most people, we are absolutely terrified of it, that we just destroy it. Now, don't get me wrong. Stereotypes aren't always the worst. I say Russia, you say vodka. I say Canada, you say nicest people in the world. I say the Netherlands, you say free weed, and you say clogs. You're both correct, by the way. Well done. However, stereotypes are limiting. We like to use stereotypes to put ourselves in an area, and that area we like to deem as final. As example, I have been told to stay in this circle because this is the best way all the cameras can capture my angle. However, if I was to momentarily step out of this circle, one camera may completely lose me. One may only have part of me. But there will be one or two cameras which will still capture me and which will allow an even greater sight of detail. It will be able to capture the minor details great. Of course, eventually, we must all return back to our area because, of course, it is sort of a home. It is sort of what we are defined as. But momentarily, stepping out of that circle would allow you to broaden your horizons and allow others to see the world as you see it. Now, stigmas are there. We must admit that. It is there. However, they are often very horribly wrong. Most people, the moment they find out I have Asperger's, they try and constantly keep on connecting in my eyes, trying to have constant eye contact. Which, if you do, I will run to the nearest police station, which will not be fun for anyone, believe me. Again, don't try and avoid it, because then it looks like you're just not interested or not paying attention at all to the person. However, if I do have something stuck in my teeth, please do stare and tell me. I would like to get that done as quickly as possible. Thank you. Now, one of the other things is that we have our routine. We have our way of life. We like to keep things organized. That's not true. If you're a student and I was to organize your desk, you wouldn't see your homework for 2 years. Adults, any special documents you have, anything for work, forget it. You're not seeing it anymore. This isn't a valid excuse to use with your teachers or bosses. Don't even try it. I am not allowing you to do that. Now, what these items do and what your actions are towards people like me is it sets us on the sidelines. We are stuck there on the sidelines, looking at you doing something interesting, something that we may also be fundamentally interested in, but yet you assume, just because of a definition in a book, or a definition, or something a teacher has told you that this person wants, that he doesn't want to join in, and therefore we're not going to let him join in. So what you are doing is you are excluding him. You are taking that seed and you are crushing it. And you believe, and this isn't only your generation, through many generations, you have been told that we can't or we don't want to be part of it. You have been told, and you so firmly believe that this is true, that you ignore any attempt to recognize it or for the person to show it. But I'm here, aren't I? Thank you very much.
Of course, that was Keister Pello talking about the Asperger's syndrome in general. We're going to take a break, and hopefully we will have our special guest if I get a chance to get the ads on here. In just a moment. We'll be back in a moment.
The Woods Studio is a community music studio that supports Vancouver's local artists. A place to rehearse and record, a place to perform without paying room fees or meeting quotas. Because exploitation isn't avant-garde. On March 12th, come support Jenny Benet on a release of Flowering Head with special guests Walgren and Sam Tudor. The show starts at 7 and is 19+. Facebook The Woods Studio for more information.
To understand more about fashion, we asked CITR student executive and fashion expert Jonathan Q what fashion means to him.
Like, it's just aesthetically something that's so ostentatious. Typically. I mean, because of course, I mean, it's also, you know, I mean, when you say fashion, I think people are talking explicitly about consumerism as opposed to someone who buys, like, you know, let's say, you know, someone buys a clothing.
If you really want to know more about fashion, come on down to CITR in the Student Union Building of UBC and pick up some of our merchandise à la mode. Nous avons t-shirts, sweatshirts, socks, and coffee mugs.
But it's also very aesthetically gripping.
To keep you styling in support of the station you love. Isn't that right, Jonathan?
Cool. Well, actually, is it? Because, I mean, you know, I was going to say because of the cultural vacuum that we exist within. But then, you know, really, fashion today is kind of derived from the European idea of couture. And that's been around for centuries.
Hello, and welcome back to the Community Living Show on the NCAA Radio Networks. Of course, we have our guests. Tell us about our guests, Michael.
Yes, we finally got our guests here. It's Laura and Lavanya. Yeah. They're both from Operation Smile. And you, April 1st, you're having a gala, right?
Yes, April 1st, we're going to have a charity gala at the Highcroft Mansion. It's going to be James Bond inspired, and we're fundraising for Operation Smile.
Yes.
So our goal, if you want
to
talk.
Our goal is to raise 100 smiles for 100 children. So that's okay. What we're aiming
that's nice.
For this year.
So tell us a little bit about Operation Smile and what it is the mission of Operation Smile.
So we became ambassadors for Operation Smile about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
It's a charity that we're really passionate about because it fights for children to...
They basically fix cleft lips and cleft palates and facial deformities of children that are born with them mm-hmm. and don't have access to medical care. And there are literally hundreds of these kids all over the world, and they have medical missions all over the world. It's a great charity to support because they don't have all these overheads and stuff that we hear about and all the advertising
right.
and stuff. So in Canada, there's a small office in Toronto. It's a registered charity, and all the money goes there. And then they do missions in Nicaragua. And
they
places.
Do missions everywhere. So I recently came back from Colombia. I went in January, and I was able to go and visit the headquarters in Colombia, so see what actually goes on one-on-one and see the children myself.
Wow.
Yes.
That must have been quite the experience.
It was an amazing experience.
Yeah. So most people, when they think of cleft palate, they see the deformity, but there's also some health conditions that go along with it if you don't fix the cleft
100%.
Lip or cleft palate in time, right?
100%. Yeah, it affects babies' ability to breastfeed, mm-hmm. so they don't get enough nutrition.
Malnutrition, yes.
Right.
And also when I went to Colombia, it was really cool to see what they do because they're taking a different approach to it. So they don't only do the surgery, but they also give you medical care. They give you psychological care for you and the family as well.
Right.
And if you need orthodontists, they will provide with that as well. So it's like mm-hmm. a whole team of people working towards getting this kid in the best medical care position.
Wow. Now, I imagine some of that would include, like, they probably need things like speech therapy and things like that, too,
that
right?
As well. That
yeah.
as well, yes.
Because what most people don't think of is, like, you talked about breastfeeding.
Mm-hmm.
The same muscles that you use to speak are the same muscles that the baby uses to breastfeed.
Exactly.
Yes.
So... Or just simply learning to eat.
Yeah.
So it affects all that.
The other thing that is part of the whole mission is to train doctors in their own countries to provide that follow-up care and stuff. So
mm-hmm.
It's very comprehensive, and it's pretty awesome.
Yes, what they do is really, really awesome because it's not only about, you know, doing one surgery and that's it, but it's about training people and giving them the power to do it themselves in different countries.
That makes the mission that much more important.
Yeah.
It's not just, oh, we'll go down there. And as somebody once said, they put up monuments. They go fix a group of people. And it's like, hey, look, see what we did. And then they leave.
Exactly.
And they leave everybody else behind. So
yeah,
that's
exactly.
good that they're actually doing the training.
Self-sufficient.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's way more. That's way important to keep people going, right?
Yeah,
true.
We
yeah.
think so.
So, yeah. So, something that's close to your heart. If you guys could actually see, both of these ladies are very beautiful ladies. I know, Laura. We talked once before. You have a presence in the fashion industry. Is that right?
Yes, we actually Lavanya and I met at Miss Universe Canada. We both competed about 2 years ago.
2 years ago, yeah.
And I'm running again this year.
Oh,
and
so.
She's gonna win.
Well, that's good.
Well,
that's
we'll throw our vote in for you.
Thank you. So the pageant is actually happening in June.
In Toronto.
Okay, cool.
Yes, in Toronto.
So we're all going out to support her. And it was a really, it was a great experience just doing the pageant because I met all these beautiful women and, you know, they're very, a lot of them are very strong, very driven and motivated to change the world. It's not just a cliche.
Mm-hmm. And I had the opportunity to actually photograph one of the events for it. Yes.
You did? Are you coming out this year?
No, I wasn't. I only got invited by accident one time.
Was it here or in Toronto?
It was actually here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, it was in Surrey.
Oh, okay. It was a different one, but
yeah.
Yes, that's pretty cool.
So yeah, it was pretty cool to see all the young ladies and it wasn't like a lot of people think that that. How to put it without being offensive?
Yeah, you can say it.
We've heard all the stereotypes.
The gooey bubble-headed blonde syndrome. Yeah. It's not that.
And don't get it wrong. There is some girls like that, but there is a lot of strong women that join pageants because they have a reason and a purpose, right? So, like personally, I see pageants as a platform, and as a way to further your career if you want to be in the fashion industry and the film industry. But also, we have great opportunities like this to reach out to people because of our network and
create a difference.
Create a difference in people's lives.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's important, right?
That's what makes it worth it.
Yeah. So, what can people expect at the gala?
So, it's going to be a really, really fun gala. We decided to do a James Bond-inspired thing because of the location. It's an amazing location. It's a mansion, the Highcroft Mansion.
Yeah, I think it's a 17th century mansion in Shaughnessy, and it has all this history and ivy covered. Like, it's gorgeous, like a fairy tale place. So, last year, our very first gala was completely different. It was very edgy. We had a burlesque theme, and people loved it. So, we decided to change the theme every year. And when we saw the Highcroft, we were like, this is it.
Yes. We also have amazing entertainment.
Yes.
We have a Leo winning sax player,
pianist,
violin player,
contortionist. Like, we have the whole James Bond experience. And it's going to be, you guys have to
come. Are we doing the Sean Connery version of James Bond?
No, vintage or? James Bond. Vintage,
that would be Sean Connery.
Yes.
Piers Brosnan. Well, for us.
There are many James Bond characters.
So the Pierce Bronson version of
that was
okay.
That
he
was
he was pretty much like Sean Connery, very suave. I heard the latest one. He's a little more of a trip over your feet kind of person.
Yeah. We're planning to watch it soon. Oh, we're also going to have a fashion show.
Yes.
James Bond-inspired fashion show. So
nice.
Yeah.
Very good. I'm looking forward to being there.
After party at 12 West. So we have limos taking everybody from
to the after party. Complimentary glass of champagne. It's going to be a really fun night. We worked really hard for it, and everything is coming together really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, because somebody invited me to come out and, of course, bring my camera along, so.
Yes.
Come on by.
Yeah. Come by.
Because you said they said there's going to be a few different rooms or something like that.
There's three
different
rooms.
Stages or something.
Well, yeah, because it's a mansion, there's like, it's a house, sort of like a big house, and then there's different stations in every room. There's like the library and the living room, and then the little green tea room and stuff. So there's going to be little delights in each room.
Very good. So it'll probably be really fun to photograph then.
Yes.
It should be.
Yeah. Awesome. Wow.
I didn't do it.
It must have been because I just rushed out the door. Well,
you didn't have breakfast today.
No, it takes me about 2 hours to get here.
Two hours to get here? Where do you come from?
I live in White Rock.
Oh,
that's why.
Yeah. Wow. And of course,
it's a long ways away.
We had the windstorm today.
Guys, it was really windy this morning.
Yeah, and a lot of downed trees and everything. Mm-hmm. from my understanding, the hardest hit was actually Abbotsford.
Well, it's effective here as well. This morning, I just really felt the wind breeze and everything.
I actually had to drive around a couple of downed trees this morning just to get to the highway. Wow. And then there was a couple of huge accidents along the way, too, wind-related.
Wow.
Avoiding something or another.
It was crazy. I heard it last night.
Yeah.
I did like hear it last night, just this morning.
It sounded like somebody was in my apartment.
Well, it was the wind blowing through your apartment.
Sure. Hopefully your apartment's still standing. Blowing in the winds.
Yeah.
Rearranging my things.
So, yeah. So, the whole thing's about cleft palate, cleft lip.
Yes, facial deformities.
Facial deformities. And
just drawing out a really eclectic crowd and having a really great time to raise money for our mission, which is 100 kids.
100 kids.
100 kids.
Yeah, our mission is to raise money for 100 kids, but also to give an amazing time to our guests.
Yeah.
Because this is something that we plan to do every year.
Mm-hmm.
So every year we plan to get better and better. And
any plans on where the 100 kids will be?
They will probably be in Nicaragua.
Yeah.
The medical trip that they did last year was to Nicaragua.
Okay.
So, but there's it's to different places every time.
Every time, yeah. So it's up on Operation Smile to make the decision where the money goes.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's decided
within the organization.
Yeah. Okay, not just within the people who are put on this particular gala. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. So there's a much larger network.
Definitely. It's international. Yeah. It spans across over 70 countries.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It actually started in, I think it was 1982 in the Philippines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's global now. It's everywhere. Like I was saying, I went to Colombia to visit them, but they have in Nicaragua.
They have all across Asia, yes. Nepal and
Africa.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the Canadian one is very small, like I said, because mm-hmm. we have that healthcare already.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, pretty much so. It's been in North America, it's been either fixed by nutrition or if a baby does happen to have it, it's
genetic.
From what I understand, it's not that hard to fix.
It's not that hard to fix.
It's just a matter of doing it.
Yes.
I don't know if we actually told you guys, but it's only $250 for one surgery.
An average
for one surgery. So,
yeah.
It's not much for us, but it's a lot for people in other countries.
Well,
right?
The difference is like if you don't have a dollar in your pocket, $250 is insurmountable, right?
It's a lot,
right?
Yes.
Plus care and time off work and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something really big if you're just struggling just to keep
to get by,
right?
Exactly.
To take time off for your baby to have a surgery, that's another insurmountable
mm-hmm.
obstacle. Or seemingly,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. Taking
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Helping the world.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. It's really cool.
Talking about it.
Yeah.
Break?
Yeah. Let's go to a break.
Okay. I'm just fidgeting on the computer here. Okay. There we go. Hopefully we have it.
There you go. Actually, Kelly's seriously, he's a trained professional. He knows what he's doing. Actually, we just believe in having a lot of fun on the show.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Sorry. We're like super stiff because we're like
trying to find the place and the parking and everything.
That's right. You guys got lost.
Yeah. Yes, we did. Yeah. It's a little bit of a maze around here.
Yeah. We'll have to talk to UBC and the CI. TR people about putting better signs up so you can find us.
So it'll be yes.
Yeah.
I think that will be helpful.
Because I don't know if, like, a lot of people may not, who knew where we were, because we were in the old student union building up on the second floor.
Oh.
And now we're in the new building. And
the Nest. The Nest, it's called.
Yeah.
That's what the guy said. He's like, if you had just said the Nest at first, I would have told you where it was.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll see now. I learned something. I will put that in my emails from now on to people when they bring guests on.
Yeah. The
nest.
Yeah. So you want to take that break now?
Let's take the break.
All right. We'll be back in a moment. This is Community Living.
Rendez-vous de la Francophonie is an annual celebration that promotes the French language, heritage, and its numerous cultural expressions. It runs March 6th to 22nd in communities across Canada. La Fondation Canadienne pour le Dialogue des Cultures, in partnership with the National Campus and Community Radio Association, through the Community Radio Fund of Canada and this station, present the RBF series. To help celebrate Rendez-vous de la Francophonie, in 2016, 24 campus and community radio stations from across Canada produce a weekly show highlighting Rendez-vous de la Francophonie events and the importance of bilingualism and Francophone culture and history of Canada. For more information, check out www.ncra.ca/RBF.
Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What's this Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show. What's your job?
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
That? And we're back. And we're back here on the Community Living Radio on CITR and the NCAR 8 Networks.
The National Campus and Radio Community Association. Yes.
I got tongue-tied for a second. Sorry, guys. Laura and
Lavanya
are with me, and we were just talking about some of our other projects that we work on. And they were asking, I wear a button on a couple of my suit jackets,
yeah.
And they say, I love Canada Films, which is actually
you've got
hashtag.
One right now.
Yeah, I love Canada Films. And so they were asking what it was about, and I told them it's for an organization called Canada Screens, and it's all Canadian programming on video on demand on off the web. And I just kind of blurted out that, hey, I have a couple movies out there.
Nice. Check them out.
Yeah.
We will be checking them out.
Yeah.
For sure.
So what else do you guys, of course, you told us about the pageants and everything.
Yes.
It's like, and of course, there's university and all that kind of stuff for you guys too.
Yes. Yeah, so pageant is my main focus right now. It has actually been a dream of mine since I was little. So it takes a lot of dedication and hard work. Mm-hmm. But I'm also getting into real estate.
Oh, cool.
It takes a lot of
training and things like that to be able to get into real estate.
It does. I'm actually taking a course here at UBC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have to pass an exam.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And then you're able to get your license and start practicing.
Right.
Yes.
No license. No selling. No,
no
selling
license,
gnomes.
No selling.
No commercial products.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know I've seen what it looked like, and I'm like, I'm not going to try that one. No real estate for me. And Lavanya?
I work for a company called Casting Workbooks. So we are also in the film industry. We're on the tech side of film.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So I was very interested in your batch.
Yeah. So, a little bit more, what do you mean by the tech side of film?
If you're familiar on the back end of things, almost every production in Canada and in North America uses Casting Workbook software to cast their movies and to reach out to talent agents and then the talent on everyone's roster.
Yes.
Yeah. That so you might have that program that you used as us.
It's Casting Workbook.
Yeah, because we do a lot more documentaries than anything.
Right.
I haven't used it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
before actors, even you have to go and register there and put your pictures up. So it's basically, like she said, like a software.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Register.
So it's like I remembered it in my early days of all this, the SAG and stuff like that. Yes. It's like registering and all that kind of stuff and fighting to get so many hours of film time so that I could actually get my real union card.
Exactly. Yeah. We deal with all of that.
And there's like several different unions. And casting doesn't just involve the actors.
Not at all.
It can also involve...
It's the casting directors, the networks, the productions,
yes.
The agencies. There's like all so many different.
The producers, the camera people, all that sort of stuff too. Yeah,
100%.
It's all part of the cast.
And the tech is really important. Like now they're doing self-taping, like they're asking for auditions online. And then, you know, it's up to people like us to step up and be like, okay, we'll make this easier for the actors to submit and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done a couple screen tests for a couple local actors.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they were friends of mine, so
yeah.
You know, you just get to know people and all. And it's like, sure. Let's find a really cool spot, say your lines and
we gotta work together, Michael.
Yeah. So, that's what it's all about, right? For all of our projects, including Operation Smile, it's about networking together and actually working, collaborating together.
Yeah.
Collaborating, absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's so great meeting people that want to support the things that you're interested in and then vice versa. Like, it's just, it creates this whole energy and it's fun, right?
Yeah. It's good having fun, right?
That's great. Yeah, that's what life is all about.
Yeah. So, if I didn't have fun doing what I do, I don't know if I would want to keep doing it. Yeah. Exactly.
I love your shoes.
Like, I know. They are amazing. They're the first thing that I noticed when I first met him, his shoes.
That's right. Because we met at, it was a...
Freak of Friday.
Mm-hmm. It was another friend of ours, Anissa Carruthers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anissa's great.
It was through her.
I've known her for... I think she was like my second oldest friend when I moved here to Canada.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I've known her for a long time.
And how long ago did you move here?
About 10 years ago, 11 years ago. Yeah. I think it was 2005.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It's almost 11 years, isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
A little while ago.
I came a year after you.
Cool. Where from?
Dubai.
Dubai.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I had some friends there. You know, the really big hotel? I had
Burj
friends
Al Arab?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had friends that had, they had three suites in there.
I only stayed there overnight.
You did?
Yeah.
Wow.
How was it?
All right. I had to do a habitat in Zambia.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. We stopped over.
Yeah.
That's a nice stopover.
Yeah, it was a stopover, but it's something. Yeah.
I could tell you some stories, but.
Are they radio friendly?
Well, no, they're radio friendly, but they're really pissing people off. We were working together for another chemical company because I used to be in the chemical industry, and my friend at the time he's son to an oil billionaire, and I was griping because where we were about. I wanted baklava.
Okay.
And there was no good baklava around.
Okay. That's weird.
He sent all the way to Iran.
What?
Had it flown.
What?
With coffee. The coffee was still hot.
Now that's good hot
just
coffee.
Just to have a snack.
That is...
To put it in perspective, the distance is probably like for us and like... Southern Washington or something. So
but
it's
still
like
to fly for a really coffee cool. And buckle.
No, he had to fly all the way to North America.
Oh, what? I thought this was while you were in Dubai.
Really? I wasn't in Dubai.
What?
He lived. How he had a suite in Dubai.
How is the coffee still hot?
I don't know how, but I was like, it was Turkish coffee, and it was still hot. I'm like,
hey,
how did you do that?
That's delicious.
That's a good friend, okay?
Yeah, he was like, an amazing friend.
Get your craving right away, no matter what it is. I need a
friend
like that.
Will you do that for me?
Laura, your friendly duties are
But with the state of the environment and all that, and there's
of
the
course,
wealth gap being what it is, and this part of Operation Smile a lot of what you guys are doing is trying to eliminate the wealth gap also.
100%.
So I just mentioned something that threw the whole thing to an extreme, right? I said, oh, it's going to be offensive to some people, but it's not something that I didn't ask him to do it.
Yeah.
But, just did it. And it was not something that I would go out of my way to do.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, for sure.
So even if I had the means.
Yeah. It was just kind There's 100 different ways to use it more efficiently, right?
For something better than a snack.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate it.
The
yeah, it was really cool of him.
Good story.
But that is some of the attitude that I guess we're up against, because you guys probably experienced it too, being up against big corporations and all that kind of stuff. And it's some of the attitudes that we're up against with that.
You know, I think so, but I also think that we're evolving. Like, there's so many people now that wouldn't have been thinking this way in our parents' generation that are, you know, we're all about open source, crowdsourcing, like
heading to a better direction.
Yeah, freedom of information and resource, and it's all about abundance versus lack. Like,
right.
You know, we have it. Like, why not share it?
Yes.
That's exactly right. Not everyone thinks like that, but we're heading in the right way. Or at least the people that we interact with. You know, a lot of us get together and have these really cool projects about giving back. So.
Yeah.
So it sounds like that's one of your missions in life is to share what the abundance that you guys have.
Absolutely. That's one of our missions, and it's actually a group of us, young women that got together. There is Nywal as well. She couldn't make it today.
She's a model. She's a beautiful model.
Yes.
From Sudan.
From South Sudan.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So the three of us met, and we have this mission to do more for our community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have to ask this. I may have asked you this before when we met.
Tell me.
Where your accent was from.
My accent is from Colombia. I was born in Colombia and I moved here about 9 years ago.
Mm-hmm. So part of this is actually giving back to South America for you, where you were born.
Yes, it's like we said, it's a global charity and they decide where the funds go. And it's important to me to do it for the children. And if it goes to South America, it'll be amazing.
Nicaragua isn't that far from Colombia, is it?
It's not that far from Colombia, no.
You're kind of in the same neighborhood.
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah.
I've never visited, though. I've never been in Nicaragua myself.
Of South America, right?
Colombia is the first country in the top of South.
And Nicaragua is not too far from the top of South America either.
Yes, it's in Central America. It's funny because people here say South America and North America. In Colombia, when I was studying in school, you learn that it's like Central America starts with Mexico and then South America and North America. So it's a little bit different.
Sometimes I get my geography a little confused, but I know that they come, if we're going south, they come before the Panama Canal.
Yes. So Panama and Colombia, we're neighbors.
Which used to be the same country.
Panama used to be the same country, but they don't like when we say that.
Well, we're in Canada.
Politics.
We can say it. I don't remember what the political thing was. That was over 100 years ago.
It was over 100 years ago, and we separated.
So, and that, of course, the U.S. went down there and built this big waterway called the Panama Canal.
The canal.
Yeah.
The canal. And the hats.
Hmm?
The Panama hats.
Did they build the hats as
well? Well, they made them popular.
Oh, the hats. Yes. Yeah, I guess they are kind of popular now, aren't they?
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Back to fashion again.
Let's go back to fashion.
Just bringing it back, guys.
We can keep talking about Colombia.
Well, I was talking to somebody else. She was probably born in the 1960s, the same as me. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about Columbia when she was growing up.
Yes.
Versus Columbia now.
Right now, yes.
Yeah. And what she said is one of the reasons why she's here in Canada is because she didn't feel safe any longer in Columbia.
Yeah. That's the reason why my family and I moved here. We actually moved as political refugees. Mm-hmm. We were escaping from violence in Colombia.
Yeah.
And that was over 9 years ago. I recently went back with Lavanya last year in August.
Back. Yeah.
And it was...
Well, she went back. I went for the first time.
For the first time. And it was completely different. Like, do you feel it was a safe country?
Amazing. Yes. Like, we went and visited the comunas, which are like
the
worst, like the favelas in Brazil and
in Medellin, yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. We went. It was like the place where all the violence used to happen and the gangs and stuff.
Yeah.
And the fact that the two of us could like walk in there and everybody was really friendly and they've done this whole rehabilitation program and
that's good.
It was really cool to see. Yeah.
And we visited also Bogota, which is the capital, and we went to the coast, to Cartagena, and I felt really, really safe being back in Colombia. So it has improved a lot in the past 9 years.
A beautiful country with a proud history.
Such a beautiful country.
Yeah.
I'm not biased.
No, it was magical. It's a beautiful.
My experience with Colombia is actually... We're going to say Panama. Was my
not
godparents. My godparents were from the area.
Mm. From Panama.
They're from Panama.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. So it probably would have been their parents as children that would have experienced the split between the two countries.
Yes.
So.
And do you know anything about their experience or did it?
Again, they left because of violence.
That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they left because of violence. So it's something to do with because the story was at the time when they left was the I don't want to say persecution is maybe too strong of a word, but there was a lot of hatred between the natives and those that would have come from the Spanish via Africa.
Mm.
So there was a lot of hatred between the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess they were more on the native side.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Yeah. So they kind of got chased out of their own country. And they wound up in the U.S.
They moved to North America?
Yeah.
To the U.S.?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I grew up in the U.S.
Yeah, you said that you moved here 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So.
Do you like Canada better?
Yes, I do like Canada better. And, okay, that leads us to a Trump slam.
I knew it.
Okay.
I knew that was coming.
Yeah. I saw on the front of newspaper today.
Mm-hmm.
The Trump White House coming soon, and in one of the bubbles, there's a dialogue below that sign. It was like a marquee, and in the bubble of the dialogue, it said, "Oh, just ignore him." And I was like, "Yes, just ignore him."
That's a good slogan for
I like that. It's like there's a good campaign stance against him.
Donald
just
Trump.
Ignore him.
Donald Trump. Just ignore him.
So,
wow.
I thought I would share that because we got our bin in about the. It's. When I grew up there, it was a very great country. And I love the country that I grew up with.
Yeah.
It's not the same country.
It's not the same country.
No, no, not the same country at all.
You move here with your family or just yourself?
Just by myself.
Mm.
I'm trying to convince the rest of my family to leave, especially in light of... I didn't grow up with all the there wasn't a lot of anti-Semitic fighting against Jews. There wasn't any anti-Muslim cynicisms.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And now they have all this stuff. It's not just Donald Trump.
Yeah.
It's every presidential candidate there.
Mm-hmm.
Is well, if you aren't considered to be a status quo of the U.S., then you don't belong.
Yeah.
And I disagree with that. It was built on open borders and allowing people to come visit, stay, be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
That sort of thing.
Hmm.
Not, oh, you're stealing our jobs away from us, get out of our country sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't agree with that.
Like, fear rhetoric and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely not the way to live.
No. We should be moving away from that, not moving towards it.
Yeah.
So... And it's good to see two young ladies like yourself who are definitely against the fear rhetoric and moving towards
open-minded. We just ignore it.
Open-minded.
We use that slogan.
There we go. Ignore it.
We just ignore it.
Well, thank you very much for coming. Oh, right. Your information.
Yeah.
Where we get contact to you.
So, if you guys want to get tickets for the Jizz Miles Gala, you can go to Google and Google Evan Bright. Second Just Smiles Gala, and you will find us right there.
Yeah.
All right.
I did put a thing on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I didn't make sure that we shared that link.
Awesome.
I couldn't see the link for some reason. Maybe you'll check it again.
We'll check it again.
Yeah.
It's called the Just Smiles Gala.
Just Smiles Gala.
Yeah. Second annual Just Smiles Gala.
Yes.
April 1st.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know.
Because you sent it over to me a couple weeks ago.
And I can send that again.
Yeah, you sent me an invitation and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to actually seeing you guys there. Are you going
to
be in the fashion show?
No, I'm going to be hosting. She's going to be hosting. So we have beautiful models for the fashion show. But our duties are, we can do everything.
Well, hopefully I'll get some photographs of you guys either way.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
That'd be awesome.
100%.
Yes. Okay.
And, of course, you want to contact us here on Twitter at Community or Sea Living Show. That's our Twitter at Sea Living Show. And if you like what you hear and you want any comments on to us, this program, you can write to us on email, communityliving.radio@gmail.com. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Levana and Laura, everybody.
Yes.
Thanks.
And we'll be back again next week. I won't be in, but what's on tomorrow?
Cheryl won the YWCA Ladies of Distinction Award.
Right.
So I want to have her come on tomorrow via phone, and so we can congratulate her.
Cool.
How's that?
All right. That's
Cheryl
tomorrow.
Young of the Fibromyalgia Wellspring.
Yeah. Well, I won't be in tomorrow, so hopefully I'll listen to it. So. Thanks for listening in to the show, and we'll be back again next week at the CITR flagship station. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I wanna feel you fucking cry. stand by.